Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
Jade Rabbit 2 started exploring the far side of the moon today, a first for humankind. The Chinese lunar rover landed on the dark side of the moon yesterday in a mission that could lay the groundwork for a human-occupied lunar base. Since its first manned spaceflight in 2003, China has emerged as a leader in a sequel to the Cold War-era space race. Let's talk about that with Namrata Goswami, an expert on China's space program. Welcome.
Thank you, Peter. It's a pleasure to be with you.
So is this mission to the dark side of the moon a symbol that says to the world that the Chinese space program has arrived?
It is, for two reasons. One, because this is the first landing on the far side of the moon that has been accomplished by human beings. It's a very, very symbolically and technologically significant development, and it shows to the world that China's space program has arrived and can do original feats on its own.
Long term, what does China want from the moon?
So China views the moon as a base that it can utilize for research, for deep space exploration, to include asteroid mining and looking at further into the solar system. And in their white papers, they have articulated their vision for looking at moon not just by itself, but as a stepping stone to further their goals for becoming the only species on Earth to establish a human presence on the moon.
Well, in fact, the Chinese have a plan to create a manned lunar base on the moon, which is incredibly ambitious and, of course, would be a first.
Yes, that's correct. In fact, if you look at what they have done on Earth last year in Baihang University in Beijing, they have generated a simulated lunar-like surface where they have had students live in that condition for about 365 days. So the long-term ambition is to view the moon as an industrial base that's going to enable China further on to explore deep space, to include asteroid mining.
So as you say, the moon is one thing. Another thing altogether, for frankly, the United States and China both, is Mars. What can you tell us about China's plans for that planet?
China has announced a program. So by 2035, building on their capacity for the moon, they're looking at sending a robotic probe to Mars. And also, very interestingly, two robotic probes to the poles of the moon. And so in terms of that program, I think what China is doing is very different from what NASA or the U.S. is focusing on. So as you know, today for the U.S. space community, including NASA, Mars is the significant concern. How do you go to Mars? How do you ensure humans going to Mars? How to develop the technology? For China, they're having Mars, but that's the next term goal. The first is the moon. And I think that's a much more smarter strategy, because if you develop capacity to be on the moon, that gives you a very cost-effective ability to then go and explore Mars, which is also going to be much, much cheaper.
And I understand the Chinese also want to use that probe on Mars to collect soil samples and bring them back to Earth. How significant would that be?
That'll be significant because very similar to the lunar surface where they are planning to bring back soil in their next probe so that they can see how much resources are there. Similarly, a sample from Mars would then enable humanity to understand what's the composition of that soil, what kind of elements it consists of, are they volatile, do they include any trace of water. But, you know, it's interesting that I need to point out that for China, Mars is not the focus right now, it's the moon. And I think I understand their strategy because the moon seems to be the place where there is enough titanium. For instance, the rover has landed on the oldest crater of the South Pole. And so the important point is that this crater consists of three very important space resources. One is water. Two, there could be huge amounts of iron. And then there is thorium, which can be used for generating electricity from nuclear reactors. So I think their strategy is to look at Mars, but only in the next 20, 30 years. It's an incremental strategy to first establish capacity for a moon base.
Okay, so all of this clearly has the United States concerned. President Trump and others have characterized space exploration as a matter of national security. And here's the president announcing the creation of a space force in June.
My administration is reclaiming America's heritage as the world's greatest spacefaring nation. The essence of the American character is to explore new horizons and to tame new frontiers. But our destiny beyond the Earth is not only a matter of national identity, but a matter of national security, so important for our military.
How much is this competition from China driving this talk in the United States about a space force?
I think it's one of the fundamental reasons, because if you look at the debate that preceded the Space Force creation, you had Alabama Representative Mike Rogers, you have the representative from Tennessee, Jim Cooper, who argued that what China is doing in terms of ASAT technology, in terms of aligning its military to look at space as an area of focus since 2015, has resulted in American space assets being vulnerable. And I say this with a measure of seriousness because if you look at the U.S. military, it's extremely dependent on space for GPS, for precision-guided missiles, for its nuclear submarines. So if China can hold those particular assets vulnerable based on the capacity it's building, that can create some kind of fear in terms of the U.S. military's ability to engage in the Asia-Pacific and the role it has in the world. And so I think the establishment of a space force that is able to bring together different agencies of the government into a single administrative unit is actually quite needed.
And China has its own plans for a GPS system to create its own, which could be of concern to the U.S. government, as you mentioned. But is militarization an explicit part of what the Chinese are doing in space?
It is one of the components. For instance, if you look at the speeches given by President Xi to the Strategic Support Force, which was established in 2015, for which space is a subunit of focus, his argument is that this particular organization will develop innovative military warfighting capacity to ensure that China has dominance in terms of access. And so I think I bring you back to the most important debate here, and that is access to space, especially not space just as a functional body that gives support to Earth-based functions, but space as a geography. China is viewing space more as a geography, as a place where they can establish presence, especially for maintaining access and dominance. And so I think I find this exciting, but I also have reasons for concern. If you look at how China behaves when it establishes first presence, for instance, in the South China Sea or, for instance, in Tibet, I fear that if China establishes presence, that will lead to access that it would then claim as an entitlement, as it has done here on Earth. So I fear that if we do not have an international regulatory system in place, it could lead to China claiming first presence rights.
And there are people in the United States who would argue that NASA and the government have lost focus on space. The U.S. now relies on other countries to get astronauts to the International Space Station. I mean, you could make the argument that China is far more focused than the United States on this issue.
Yes, and to add to your point, I agree with you that in the last 20 years, the U.S. has lost focus, especially under the first two Bush administrations and to an extent under Obama. And as you know, under President Xi Jinping, space is one of the topmost priority of the Communist Party of China, and they have committed resources for the next 20 years. Unlike in the U.S., where you have a change of regime every 4 years or every 8 years. Also, you need congressional approval, which sometimes do not come forward. And so I think that's a clear advantage that China has in terms of space.
Now, I think we do need to give the United States some credit for what they're doing. On the same week that China lands this spacecraft on the dark side of the moon, NASA has its own victory. The New Horizons spacecraft is sending back pictures of the most distant world that has ever been visited by a man-made object. Is your feeling that this competition between the U.S. and between China is good for everyone on Earth, that it pushes us all to strive just a little bit harder?
I think the competition is good because, it encourages other nations to look at both countries' capability and capacity. So yeah, the competition is good in terms of the innovation that it's going to encourage. For instance, you know that the GPS system was also a part of that competition with the Soviet Union and came out of the military and DARPA. China's ambitions have been articulated very clearly, and that is to establish humanity's first base there for industrialization, for presence. And I think China has very successfully changed the discourse on space by articulating those ambitions very clearly.
That's Namrata Goswami, an expert on China's growing space program. Thanks so much for your time.
Thank you, Peter. It's a pleasure.